Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 8, Working with Parents, Part 4. I want to now look at the parent issue from a completely different perspective, one that Rudolf Steiner only brought once to the best of my knowledge, and I've asked many anthroposophists and physicians about this, and one which the founder of the Camp Hill movement, Carl Koenig, a very, very great spiritual teacher himself, and one who worked throughout his life with children and adults with special needs, the very last lecture that he ever gave was also on this subject. And in fact, his last words were, "This is very important, and tomorrow we will develop this further because I really want you to understand this." And he died that night. So it's very interesting. Something in a way that Steiner left for the future. So when we are born, and we come out of our mother's womb, and our umbilical cord is cut, huge matter, tremendous, you know, and perhaps you spoke about that in grade 7 physiology, or the children will probably learn about it in embryology in high school. But the child's blood becomes her own, and many other things immediately, many other organic systems in the body change profoundly in that split second. So that's a very important matter. That's, you know, really being born, and suddenly we start to breathe earthly air. Rudolf Steiner says that's only the first umbilical cord that's cut. There are three others. There is an etheric umbilical cord, which lives between the biological mother and the child for about 7 years. And then with the child going into grade 1, ideally it used to be at age 7, that umbilical cord is cut. The change of teeth reveal that severance. So now the child is no longer connected with the mother via physical or etheric umbilical cord, but there are two more. There's an astral umbilical cord. That connection lasts for about 14 years. And here again, things are all getting, you know, accelerated in our time. But when the girl begins menses, that's a sign that she has severed, she has cut that astral umbilical cord. And now her astral body is completely her own. She's no longer, in a way, still enmeshed, embedded in her mother's astral body. And then finally, around age 21, comes the severance of the ego umbilical cord. And as I said earlier, this is why we don't really see the ego for any prolonged period of time, the real individuality in children in the grade school, not even really in the high school. It's not maybe until the senior year of the high school, but for many kids, it's not until after high school, college, if they go, university, whatever. That's when that umbilical cord is severed. And that traditionally was when kids were, you know, ready to go into the world then and leave home. So four umbilical cords, and this is another way of looking at the seven-year period. So those of you who started with your class in first grade were there when the etheric umbilical cord was beginning to sever, when there was this very, very important change going on, and now the child's life forces, life body, were becoming their own. And this is why it's not unusual for first graders, second graders to have delicate health. It's not really until about fifth grade that you look at the roll books and you see, you know, most children are there most days, that you have lots of up and down with children's health as they get accustomed. It's like a second birth. It really is. They get accustomed in a way to meeting the world around them with their own etheric forces, their own immune system, their own guardian angel, and not the mother's being completely engaged. However, in those 7 years, the time that Steiner intended the Waldorf school to have a class teacher, that in that time, you are encountering the mother's astral body rather than the child's astral body in the classroom. The child sitting in front of you, and for all practical purposes, you think, you know, it's their life of feeling, it's their emotions, it's their ups and downs on the emotional level that you're encountering, and it's as though there's an osmotic system going on, and you're actually meeting the mother at the same time. And this is a very profound thing. Now, I didn't know about this umbilical cord issue until my second time through. I wish I'd known about it the first. It makes a huge difference. You didn't know about it either, perhaps, but I hope you're going to go on and take a first grade again, or at least start in the early grades. You have to realize that if the mother is in the next room, maybe she's on the faculty. If the mother is at home, 5 miles away. If the mother is working in her office, an hour's commute from the school. If the biological mother is in China and you're teaching in Austin, Texas. If the biological mother has died and you are still on the earth with that child, it doesn't matter. The mother is present in that child's astral body. Her ups and downs, her emotional stability or the lack of it, feelings that she is being overcome by or that she is trying to develop, however it is, that is affecting the child. And no less importantly, contrary-wise, though not as powerfully, what you are bringing to the child on the astral level is being conveyed to the mother. And this is why, you know, parents who give Waldorf education half a chance and who you know, really try to live into it a little bit, they will say, you'll see when your class graduates at the end of eighth grade, coming soon, you'll hear how the parents talk as much about their life changing, their family changing, their values changing, and all of that. And it's not just because of all the wonderful things you said in the parent evening. You know, you realize, where did that come from? I mean, I never spoke about all this stuff. I was never, you know, so tough on people about this or that. Where does that change come? It's what you are bringing to the child that is flowing back to the mother. And I'm saying the mother. Dads do not have umbilical cords, at least not after they're born. It's the mother. And it's only with the severance of the astral umbilical cord that the father now, because he carries the ego forces very strongly, he now can sort of stand there alongside the mother's ego umbilical cord. So you are at another big transition point right now. Probably maybe a quarter of the children in your class have already severed this umbilical cord, or it's happening right now, maybe today as you're listening to these lectures. But by the time you're halfway through eighth grade, almost everyone will have severed that. And you are, in the same way that you're meeting the children as karmic connections with yourself, you're also meeting them with an astral body that is now independent of the mother's. So this is really, really powerful. The class teacher is the only one in the school who very likely experiences the severance of two umbilical cords. That's the range of class teaching, if, again, one stays with it. And I hope, you know, everything that I'm saying helps you realize why it is so important wherever possible, wherever life makes it possible, for one teacher to stay with that class. On a level of spirit and soul, it is absolutely irreplaceable. On a level of practical earthly matters, Steiner recognized this himself, it's not always possible. But how wonderful it is, and I can attest to that, and, you know, to my dying day, I think I will say that that experience was one of the most profound in my entire life. Every single day with that class, year after year after year, seeing what happens to a group of human beings over that period of time, that powerful, volatile, changing period of time, and I guess for them to see me and how I'm reacting to it and responding to it all. So that's something very important to recognize. These four umbilical cords, and that we really, when, you know, our higher members are incorporated, it's a tremendous re-engagement, reassessment, reworking of the whole family constellation. And for us to see how important that mother is. Now, I mentioned the biological mother, and I said, what if she's in China, or she's in Colombia, or, you know, far away? The child is adopted. And whenever I speak about the umbilical cords, immediately somebody says to me, well, what about adopted children? You mentioned adopted children, and, you know, I'm always asking in Waldorf schools about adopted children, and nobody has anything to say except, isn't that wonderful? You adopted a child. How great. So what about the adopted child? What about the adoptive parents? Are they chopped liver? I mean, what about their higher members and all of that? That has no effect. Well, I'd say here we have something that is very special. And what's very interesting about this specialness of adoption is how much it's happening in our time. How frequent this is, how, you know, almost expectable, predictable it is. The Philadelphia Waldorf School has a huge proportion of children who are adopted. New York City, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of adopted children. San Francisco and so on. This is becoming a hallmark of our time, that children leave very often countries in the developing world and come to very often the United States or Europe, and there they are raised. What happens there? Here we could say that in just by its very nature, just in the course of things, the four umbilical cords remain connected to the biological mother. And because these are all cords of higher bodies, it doesn't matter if she's on the earth or not. So that in a way, in fact, in certain respects, especially the astral and ego cords, a mother who is in the spiritual world because she died young actually is going to have more of an effect than a mother who'd be still in the physical world, where the physical body is blocking some of these things. However, the adoptive parents, by their love, by their nurturance, by their concern, whatever it is, you know, by the fact that they are so grateful to have this child with them, and they want to give this child whatever they can, they have the possibility, the mother, of course, in particular, of creating out of their own etheric, astral, and ego substance, we might say, they create a second set of umbilical cords. And this becomes a child then who we could say is twice blessed, who has to, on the one hand, overcome these cords and sever them, but also has this sort of backup of a second set of cords that are there if anything is not functioning properly or fully on the first level of cords. Now, when I tell this to parents who may have maybe one or two children they've adopted, by now the children are, you know, 13 and 19 or whatever, often mothers will cry and just realize what they have been doing and say, if only I had known this, if only someone had told me this, it would have made so much sense. There's so much now. It's like I'm having a, as I'm talking to you, I'm just seeing all of these things that I can understand now about the enigma of my child. And so in a way, we as Waldorf practitioners, who are probably going to encounter more than our share of children who were adopted, because it's just the kind of parents who will send their children to Waldorf schools, who are also the kind of people who probably would do this sort of adoption, to let them know what they are doing, what an important work they're doing. And of course, I bring it right back to the curriculum and say, you know, your children have been hearing since first grade fairy tales about adopted children, saint stories about adopted children, the story of Moses, among others, and a number of other adopted children in the Hebrew scriptures. Not so strongly in Norse myths, but definitely grade 5, grade 6. These children who think that they are the children of milkmaids like Krishna, or the children of a wolf like Romulus and Remus, and then they learn when? They learn when they are about 8th grade age, that they're not that at all, that they are somebody completely different, that they have a world mission, that they have world karma. Uh-huh. Isn't that powerful? So it's right at this age, the 7th, 8th grade age, that the child who has been adopted may awaken to their true nature. And this is a great responsibility that you have as a teacher if you have an adopted child. You know, and I would just say it's not like the story of the umbilical cords is going to make immediate sense to you. Well, what does that mean? And I would just say, put that into your contemplative life. You know, think about it now and then, and see if it helps you understand anything on another level. But again, it just shows how complex, how powerful the family constellation is, the relationship of the child to the parents. And once again, why these damn parent evenings are so important. Because whether you're working with your karma with the parents, or you're going beyond the karma with the parents, or the karma is over, or whatever, you don't want to lose them. You don't want them to just drift away. You want their active engagement until the very, very last day, and hopefully beyond as well. So I hope that this discussion of the umbilical cords is of help to you.